Awesome. I don't think we're allowed to say that anymore.
The Infinity War of cons? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Does that mean half of us are making
nothing? Yep. Sorry, guys. There's a reason it's hot in here.
Yeah.
Gonna disappear.
By the way, I've got a secret lottery. I know which one of you.
If the end of your social security number is even, we apologize.
722. Wait, what?
That's how they decided.
I was just drawing on my... I desperately want to flip Mr. Roboto because in my last panel I had a big musical number prepared. And then I got eliminated before I got to perform it. So all ready to sing to people. With, even with a hoarse voice, which is just the worst singing, right? You know,
makes it better. With
the, yeah, because I can't hit that note.
It makes
right
it smoky.
No. Absolutely. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to start off by a disclaimer. We're going to talk about spoilers. Like, I'm going to start with a list that is like a really, really, really significant spoiler. So, if you don't want Infinity War spoiled for you, like you haven't seen it for some reason.
Why are you here?
Or you don't want...
For the air conditioning.
The spoiled for you either, a little bit. Leave, because... Because I'm going to spoil it pretty significantly right here at the beginning. We've already kind of spoiled it with our jokes. But, yeah, you know, some stuff went down in that movie, and we're going to talk about it. I would like to start by reminding ourselves of the list. Because it doesn't look like anybody's getting up to leave. Okay, so I'm going to say what the list is, because I didn't even want to say what the list was until I was sure that nobody was getting up to leave. The list of who lived and who died. So, just straight up died in the movie. I mean, the first one, we don't know. But Loki.
I have theories. Don't worry, I don't think he's dead.
Right. I haven't either.
I'm in denial, or he's not dead.
But he was, as far as we can tell, straight up killed.
Yeah.
Heimdall.
He's definitely dead.
Gamora and Vision. Disintegrated. We have Black Panther, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Winter Soldier, which auto-corrected very strangely, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, all of the remaining Guardians of the Galaxy except for Rocket and Nebula, Nick Fury and Maria Hill, Wasp, Hank Pym and Janet. Survive. We have Captain America, we have Iron Man, Thor, Black Widow, Hulk, War Machine, although how able he is, we're not really sure. Rocket, Nebula, how do you pronounce her name?
Okoye.
M'Baku, and Ant-Man. Unknowns. Shuri, I think last we saw she was being knocked out a window. Pepper Potts, Captain Marvel, we assume, but we don't know. Hawkeye, where is he, on a farm? I don't know. The Collector, Valkyrie.
Hawkeye's playing tag, I saw that movie. That's where he was the whole time. Nobody can catch him.
Valkyrie better be alive, that's all I gotta say. Wong. And, of course, our greatest hero, Ned. I'm among my writer friends, I'm the structure guy. Like, I talk about structure. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret, writer secret. Let's actually start with introductions. So let's start at the bottom, and we'll go down, and then I'll let you in on a little writer secret. Travis?
I'm not at the end.
Okay.
I have a giant head, and he thought that was the end of the earth. I'm the reason the flat earth theory is a thing.
My name is McCord Larson. I am a writer and producer for Olympus Media International.
My name is Jake Dietz. I'm a podcaster. I've got a new podcast coming out soon with the Hope Strikes Back Network.
My name is Christian Lambert. I am a writer. Among other things, I have written a little comic book called Genesis Next. It's a web series from Sideswipe Comics. Check out Sideswipe Comics on Instagram and Facebook.
I'm Travis Tate. I'm a stand-up comedian, and I have a podcast that's called Late to the Party with Travis Tate. And I actually proposed this panel when I watched the movie in theaters. I thought, all the original Avengers are still alive, and they hate each other. This is a panel.
Except for maybe Hawkeye, and who cares?
We still
J.L. Gribble. I write fantasy novels. I write the Steel Empire series. Steel Victory is the first one. Steel Time just came out yesterday. I have them for sale. Oh, thank you. Over at the Printed Gardens, and I'm also a blogger for SpeculativeChic.com.
My name is Cameron McVeigh. I'm a science fiction author. You can find my stuff and information on at CameronMcVeigh.com. I have 7 books up right now. The last one I just put up is called Laser Boy. It's the first in a superhero series.
Okay, so here's a little, I'm Bob Defendi. I'm the moderator. I write the Death by Cliché series. I'm a bit of a spy off. So, here's a little dirty secret of writing. Writers who don't even know this, notice in their hearts when they're writing. The villain has a plot. And there's a point at the plot that has to happen before the heroes can accomplish anything. And that point is the end of Infinity War. So, that big moment, bam, at the end of the Infinity War, is the moment, structurally, Thanos became vulnerable. So that's the moment the plot starts really moving, right? Up until then, it was all about the Avengers being on their heels, reacting to disaster, structural. At least with the way that they had that movie set up. So, I'm going to get this out of the way right away. We all know that many of these characters are in movies that have already been scheduled. We all know that. That might come up later, but we're not going to pretend that's not the case. I'm not sure how much that's going to come up in our discussion, but we all know there's not the Spider-Man movie. We all know there's a Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Guardians 3 is on indefinite hold, right?
Was Guardians 3 put on hold?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
the James Gunn.
Well, I heard that they...
It made money. They're going to make another one.
Currently, it's on an indefinite hold.
Okay.
Also, another thing to point out is that we're already starting to see Marvel movies that are taking place before the event of Infinity Gauntlet as well, which could also be another thing that we have to take into consideration. When does the next Spider-Man movie take place? Does it take place pre-Thanos or after Thanos?
I'm pretty sure.
And just because they have multiple contracts doesn't mean that they have their own contracts and their own movies either. They can be popping up in different places, like when Loki shifted into Captain America.
Okay, I just got my picture taken with Dave Bautista, you guys. And there was a holdup in the line, and I asked him, so I'm on a Marvel panel in like 20 minutes. We're talking about the movies. Can you give me anything about Guardians, about the next Avengers movie? And he goes, nice to meet you, man. So, that's your spoiler, you guys.
And I can say power bonding for the movie. We all know.
I know Sebastian Stan is contracted for like 25 Marvel movies. So.
I mean, even if they didn't, Guardians 3 was planned. But anyway, my point is that's the business aspect is the elephant in the room. Let's just acknowledge that. So here's my first question. And this is actually Travis's first question that he messaged me, and I think it's gonna take up a lot of the panel. So at the end of the Avengers, things are pretty messed up. Just to start off, Black Widow and the Hulk, Black Widow betrayed the Hulk in a major way last time they were really together. Tony and Steve have been through a pretty messy divorce. And all of the kids split up in the most epic custody battle of all time.
Tony got the house.
Yeah. But only them and a few others are left. With the exception of the wild card of Hawkeye, the original Avengers are all alive and accounted for. And I'm sure Hawkeye's alive. He's just not unaccounted for at the moment. Because Hawkeye's really too lame to bother killing.
It's really interesting watching all these stories as a writer, because you start knowing how things are going to happen, because, you know, narratively, what makes total sense is that Hawkeye's family, which was Hawkeye's big deep secret in Age of Ultron, they're all going to go in the poof, which then gives Hawkeye the motivation to
reunite
them.
Even if it's just one.
Yeah, even if it's just one of the kids or the wife, you know.
Oh, it's definitely the wife.
Or the guy that fixes his tractor. I mean, he's got motivation.
So where do you see the characters going from here? Do you think that they're going to, reassemble the Avengers right away? Like, they're just going to stand around saying the band back and forth 15 times, like Jake and Elwood Blues? Or do you think that they're going to be, like, a set of morphing team-ups like the first movie was, where we have a group of different, individual team-ups that keep on shifting alliances back and forth, because their relationships are, like, fundamentally broken. So let's just start with that and go.
Are we going down the line, or what?
No,
are we
going? Just go.
I guess I was talking, so I'll go. I kind of feel like it's going to start... I mean, I kind of hope it starts similar to where the movie left off, to where everybody... Like, Tony is on another planet, and everybody's all... We don't know where Hawkeye is. Everybody's spread throughout. There's a bunch in Wakanda. I hope it kind of starts off there, and they go off to do certain missions, because I don't know if it's going to be like a heist movie, or how they're going to get the gauntlet back, or if they're going to get the gauntlet back, because the gauntlet's broken, right? He fried it at the end of the movie. Maybe Thanos is just going to be like, the guy that cuts my hair disappeared, I didn't plan on that, and he'll just reverse it. I don't know, but I think it's going to be like little factions going off, and then at the end, that's when they're going to come together, and that's when we're all going to cry, because Tony and Steve hug before one of them dies, probably Steve.
Yeah.
I also think it has to do with kind of what threat is going to be introduced next, because right now there's a huge power vacuum to be filled. And we don't know if it's going to be one big bad where they all have to come together to defeat it, or if there's going to be several different fractions of different villainous organizations that pop up here and there that need to be dealt with individually. So I think that'll have a lot to do with whether or not how fast they come together.
Because it's power vacuums both on Earth and in space, because are the Kree from all this shenanigans going on in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. going to pop up, and, you know, Nebula and Tony are going to have to careen around space fighting them to get back to Earth. Like, there are so many possibilities.
Well, we've seen pictures this week of the Skrull showing up in Captain Marvel's.
How convenient was that, right?
Yeah.
Like 3 days before FanX was coming out.
So, if I could just ask a quick question here of the audience. How many people think that for the second movie that time travel will be involved?
Yes!
Simply because of that, I really hope it's not time travel. I really hope there's
Doctor Who just dropped his head right there.
We do have reality warping, too. It doesn't have to be time travel. We have reality warping as a thing now as well.
Yeah, and then all the stuff with... Ant-Man still being stuck in the atomic
quantum realm.
I think the quantum realm is actually an
The last thing Janet says to him is, don't get stuck in a time vortex. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Since Doctor Strange just walked in, I think one important thing to remember is... you're welcome, Doctor Strange. We're going by our fake names, I guess.
Our made-up names.
He looked into the future and saw every single outcome and decided to give Thanos the stone anyway. That's the outcome that he saw, that where they could win. They had to lose to win.
What does that mean?
That is very deep, and if Doctor Strange is asking me what it means, I feel very flattered. It means sometimes you gotta take a knee to win the battle. I don't know what it means. I made it up.
Great, okay. So do you think that Shuri Mbuku or is it Okoye?
Okoye.
Okoye. Are going to become an interim Black Panther?
I really, really, really want to see a Shuri Black Panther while while M'Baku and Okoye have to hold Wakanda together, and hopefully at this point, after the events of Black Panther, end up doing a lot to hold the rest of the world together with their technology. So,
do you think it'll be more like a Iron Man-y Black Panther, or do you think the powers, because they burned all those little glowy plants.
Yeah.
Right, so...
I think Shuri's got enough toys in her pocket to make up for the loss of the heart-shaped herb.
I want to see her call Tony Stark dumb at some point.
I really, really, I'm dumb calling her.
I really want to see that, yes.
Okay, I think we can all agree that this is the most important question of the panel. Will Ned somehow become the ultimate guy in the chair for all of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chances, yes.
Okay. Do you think we haven't seen Gwyneth much lately? Do you think Pepper Potts is going to show up at all in the next movie?
Yes.
We've forgotten her. They just left her powers from Iron Man 3, right? Didn't she have powers at the end of Iron Man 3? Am I hallucinating that?
She sort of had powers. Like, they fixed the whole she might blow up at any moment thing, but they never specifically confirm whether she does still have extremist powers or not.
And even if not, there's always the rescue thing from the comics that she can still become rescued.
Yeah, I'm sure Tony has made her multiple suits.
Yeah, so I'd like to see any of that happen. And, you know, I was in the comics, I love her whole take on rescue, where she was like the one who didn't kill people, right? She just used the suit for helping, like where Tony was like the weapons guy.
So can we all agree that we want a team up in Infinity War of Okoye, Shuri, Pepper Potts is either with either Extremis or Rescue, Captain Marvel, and Black Widow? Like,
can we throw Valkyrie in there?
What?
Can we throw Valkyrie in there?
Oh yeah, I'm Valkyrie. Yeah. You know.
Sif, Lady Sif is still.
Yeah, because like, I'm not a huge fan
of
the
Nebula too.
But thank God for the show Blindspot being a scheduling conflict, because that meant that she couldn't get killed off with the Warriors 3 and Thor Ragnarok, so thank you, Blindspot.
I was so happy when she didn't die.
Everybody sleeps on Nebula, but I think Nebula's going to have a huge part in this movie, because she wants revenge. She finally made amends with her sister, and Thanos killed her.
Well, she no longer
and she
has
hates him anyway.
She no longer has the shadow of her sister either.
Right.
Cypher has stepped into her own life.
Where is Korg?
With Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
Protecting
Oscars.
I don't know.
The other half of the ship.
No, so
they're starting a revolution, mate.
Another day, another death.
We haven't met Captain Marvel yet, since her movie is out. But what are we expecting from her, do you think?
I don't know. You know, the fact that it kind of takes place in the past, we get to see the origin of Phil Coulson and his rise through S.H.I.E.L.D., two-wife, Nick Fury. You know, so all of this happens well before the events of the Infinity Gauntlet. But there is obviously a definite reason why Fury called her. Very specifically, and if we remember in Iron Man 1, the first thing Nick Fury says to Iron Man is, "Do you think you're the only hero out there?" So, I mean, this is obviously something that's a take on that as well. So, it'll be interesting to see where that goes going forward.
Well, Ronan's going to be in it too, so there's a tie-in because he was working with Thanos there. So, obviously, there's going to be some sort of backstory that Captain Marvel has with the Kree powers and everything that's going on. It's going to be exciting to watch. Plus, there's the Skrulls, guys.
Right.
Somebody's probably a Skrull.
They could all be Skrulls. The people who died could be Skrulls. Technically.
Mind blown.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like, all the heroes die, and then this giant ship pulls out of nowhere, and all the heroes just get out. They've all been Skrulls the whole time. Yeah. Secret Invasion style.
Exactly.
Somebody on this panel could be a Skrull.
That would have come off so cheap.
Exactly.
So, how much of the movie do you think is going to be action based, and how much do you think is going to deal with these broken relationships? Like, do you think we're going to see any real healing between Banner and Natasha?
I kind of hope that that's over and done with. It's been 2 years. It was a weird relationship to begin with.
Oh, you mean the whole relationship?
Yeah. I'm much more emotionally invested in reconciliation, obviously, before one of them dies, of Steve and Tony. So.
Yeah, I think if we see a resolution, in relationships, that means someone's going to die in that relationship. And then they'll keep the other conflicts going for the next set of movies.
I think they're going to keep them separated till the end, and that's where you're going to see it. But I think it's going to follow the same pattern they followed in the Captain America Civil War and in the other Avengers movies. There was always strife in all those movies. Somebody doesn't trust somebody, or somebody thinks they're right and somebody else is wrong, and there's bickering. It's going to be like that, and then there's going to be awesome action too.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Russo brothers are about as good as anybody in the business right now in balancing out A, large casts, and B, action, and C, like really small intimate moments that make you feel like the action is worth it. So I think, I mean, as far as trust goes, I mean, we got to just trust the Russos at this point.
Do we know who's directing the next one?
Part two?
Yeah, part two.
The Russo.
It's the Russo.
Yeah.
It's
the Russo.
I just know for sure.
Yeah. They're shooting reshoots right now in Atlanta.
I actually don't look these things up, so I can ask stupid questions while I'm a moderator. All right. So, here's a question we kind of touched on at the beginning. In the end, what do you think the actual final death toll is going to be? Do you think they're going to roll back all the disintegrated people? Do you think they're going to roll back any of the dead people from before the disintegration? How do you think that's going to play out?
So, right when Thanos gets the Soul Stone, it goes to black and he wakes up outside of, you know, Vormir there in the water. And I think, and then right after he uses the gauntlet to snap his fingers, he goes back to that, what'd you call it, Gord? Like the reality bending, reality warping?
Yeah, reality warping.
So I think the Soul Stone is the key, and that's, if everybody's alive, they're all in the Soul Stone, and will be resurrected from that. And that's how you get the people rolled back through the alternate reality.
I may have made this up, but because at like wish fulfillment type thing, I'm pretty sure the Russo brothers have confirmed that Gamora is still alive inside the Soul Stone.
Yes.
So I think, I didn't make that up. That makes me happy. So I think if she might be back. In terms of how far back they're going to go, like obviously I would like for them to roll back everything and so that Loki's still alive, but I rewatched Infinity War this week and Thanos specifically says, like, mocks Loki's undying loyalty, so I don't think that the dead Loki that we saw is the real dead Loki.
I don't believe for a moment Loki died. I mean, Loki's pulled that on us too many times.
But they want us to think that. There really is a possibility Loki's dead, because if Hemsworth is done doing the movies, you might have Valkyrie come in and be the next Thor. And that means the Loki story is done. Then we go to Valkyrie's story. There's so, like, if Steve dies, we've got Falcon's going to come back, or Bucky. One of them can be Captain America. If Tony Stark dies or steps away, Suri could come in and be Captain America. She's smarter than he is anyway. Possibilities are, I mean, be ready for anything, you guys.
Right, I mean, with Skrulls, with time travel, with reality warping stuff, all the elements that we have out there, I mean, literally anything can happen. That's the beauty of comic books and superheroes, right? Given the element that you mentioned earlier, we know certain movies are coming, and at the industry level, certain things are happening. It would be the greatest thing ever, I think, if the end of this, at the end of the next movie, somehow there's a really big change in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the last scene is Reed Richards and the Fantastic Four walking out of one corner, and the X-Men walking out of the other corner. And,
as long as there's Doctor Doom.
And everything's there all together. They could take the opportunity to shift the the narrative timelines that much. I mean, we have a Kelvin timeline in the Star Trek world, so there's these the precedent for doing that.
There's so many, they have lined up for so many other people to possibly step in for every character, which it's smart because these guys and girls aren't going to want to do the characters forever. Eventually, Scarlett Johansson isn't going to want to do Black Widow anymore. Somebody else is going to step in there. And if they can keep the character going without recasting it, but just putting a new existing character in, I think that's good for us.
Kamala Khan. I want to see her on the big screen.
But we all agree that we don't want time travel.
I think there may be time travel because,
it's not that I don't want time travel. It's that it's such an easy out. If they can do that, they have to do it really well. And as someone said, if anyone can do it, it's going to be the Russos. You know, we trust that.
Tony goes back in time. His mom tries to kiss him. He's freaked out.
Yeah.
Gets his dad to hit a bully. It'll be cool.
We also have to take into consideration that they might not be dead. I mean, they might just be displaced. All we know is that they just vanished. They're just gone.
I mean, it is comic book logic. If there's no body, then.
Right.
That is a really good point. I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, so I mean, with everything going on, but I mean, each one of the gems, I mean, there is a time gem, so time travel is a possibility. There is a reality gem, so reality warping is a possibility, you know? So I mean, you gotta take each one of those factors into consideration when we're trying to make our guesses. And I think the Russos are actually having a lot of fun with this. I think they're laughing at us, thinking like, hey, look what this guy just posted, you know? Like, because they have so many opportunities and so many different variables on how they can bring them back that I think that, I mean, there's not a clear choice on this.
Could be all happening on the holodeck for all we know.
There's a picture online, I don't know if it's a Photoshop or not, but it was Ant-Man standing next to Captain America in his Avengers 1 suit in New York. What's that?
It's confirmed.
It's confirmed. So Ant-Man pops out of the quantum realm in 2012 right next to the Avengers with an open portal above them. There's going to be, you know, that's one way to get back at Thanos or get at Thanos before he gets there.
So I got a message from the future.
Yeah. So Ant-Man's going to be have a big part in that. I do think, though, there'll be different teams doing different things until they have an Avenger, they cry Avengers Assemble, and that's what the movie's going to be called in my theory. I said it right now. So if it is, I call
it's
it
you.
Avengers Assemble.
And I want to
go ahead.
I would like just once for them to acknowledge, like, the Netflix universe, like, even if it's just in passing, like, you know, like, even just like a spanning thing over city streets or whatever, and you see Luke Cage lifting up a car for somebody who got hit, whose driver disappeared, and, you know, Daredevil's doing something, or Jessica Jones doing this or that. Like, I mean, just once, just acknowledge that they kind of exist would be awesome.
Yeah, just 30 seconds.
Right.
I really want to see Rocket and Ant-Man team up somehow. I want Rocket to be the giant in the relationship. You know, like, come on, little guy, let's go.
Or even Rocket and Shuri. Like, yeah, just get Rocket and Shuri together to just start building stuff.
It'd be like Lego Avengers. They're just picking stuff up and building things.
Exactly.
I mean, when Bucky disappeared, he dropped his gun, so Rocket is at least going to get a gun.
Yeah.
By the way, I had a question where I kept on insinuating that Captain America would die, but you all took care of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, as much as I think we'd all like to see everyone come back to life and yay, everyone's alive again. I mean, for the story to carry some true emotional weight, I mean, someone's have got to go, right?
Yeah, and I think that's something we haven't really seen in the Marvel Universe yet, is that cost actually gets paid.
Right.
So I think you're right. And we know Chris Evans isn't going to be Captain America forever or again.
Yeah, if they're going to kill somebody, it's going to be Chris Evans' character because he wants to move on to directing and such. And in terms of somebody getting to live happily ever after, I think Tony Stark is in a better position to retire and become kind of the elder statesman of the Avengers and pass on the Iron Man mantle to somebody else.
They already set that up with the scene at the Central Park with Pepper and Duncan with the wedding and stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Except that I promise I'll make a promise to you, and then he never gets a chance to make the promise. So I think they're going to, you know, as we're talking about writing, opening image, closing image, I think that'd be a great way to, you know, that was the opening image essentially of Infinity War, would be a great closing image is the wedding. You know.
I'm a sucker for weddings, so I really want to see their wedding.
Also, if you're looking at it from a budgetary writing standpoint, you keep Tony alive, it's probably cheaper and more efficient to have him come in for small scenes where he just really pops up the movie in like a small scene and then gets out.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, Chris Evans' character just doesn't have that kind of pithiness, you know.
And Chris Evans wants to eat bread, you guys.
He
really
does.
Wants to eat bread.
Let the man eat bread.
Let the man eat bread. I'm going to open up to questions here pretty quick. Does anybody have anything they want to say before I do that?
Just real quick. I had a producer friend of mine tell me that you don't make comics to make money, you make comics to make properties. And about 2 or 3 years ago, Marvel Comics unloaded a whole bunch of new legacy characters. Riri Williams as Ironheart, you've got Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, you have Sam Alexander, Nova, and there's an entire book called The Champions that is completely all just legacy characters, and at any given time, I think that part of what they're doing is setting up for the films where they can bring in any of these characters once the once these other actors kind of go on to do other things. So I think we can start seeing a lot of legacy characters step in real soon.
Well, I think we've even seen that in some of the films outside of the MCU. With Logan, we see X-23 kind of appear and show up there. She's a legacy character for the Wolverine character. So I think you're right on.
If they close the movie with a wedding, I want it to be like Muppets Take Manhattan, where you get the Muppets and then you get Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock, and then it'll be like that for the Marvel. It'll be like, oh, look, there's the X-Men, there's the Fantastic Four, everybody's here.
Seriously, Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool.
He's officiating. Stanley's officiating.
He jumps out of a cake.
No, Deadpool's going to jump out of the cake.
Yes. Let's have our first question, sir.
What do you think of there being a multiverse and Loki pretending to be the Hulk or Bruce Banner?
I think the question of multiverse is really good. I mean, we've seen it in the comic books. Marvel had, I forget the names of, the Ultimate Universe and the 616 Universe and so many other universes. I mean, one possibility out of all this for sure is that the snap, in terms of the movies coming up, creates different timelines, different realities in which, you know, Spider-Man's alive in one, but he's not in another, and they go forward from there. So I think that's a great question, a great possibility.
I had never even thought of Loki pretending to be the Hulk, dude. That is awesome. It never even occurred to me. You blew my mind, dude.
Yeah.
He's just a lot weaker in the movie than
he's a lot weaker in the movie, isn't he? He didn't eat his Wheaties.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Just because there's a severe lack of both on-screen content and online content, I was wondering if we could have a more in-depth and serious discussion about how the relationship between Wanda Maximoff and the Vision impacts Infinity War and the events that could potentially follow it. I thought it was emotionally involving for a lot of viewers, but I've also seen a lot of people who had negative or adverse reactions to it, and just what do you think personally that relationship had on the events of Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet, and what do you think this means for the rest of it? When you think about these characters, are they going to stay dead, etc.? Let's just talk about Scarlet Witch and Vision.
That is a super awesome question. Yeah. I'm glad I'm moderate and don't have to answer it.
I think Shuri got a pretty good scan of the Vision when she had him on the table, and I think they basically set it up by saying you could remove the stone and the best parts of the Vision would still be there, right? So Shuri's going to put him back together pretty quick, I think. I mean, they're right there in Wakanda, he's already scanned him, and that's a quick fix. I love the part with Vision and Wanda and the whole Scotland thing, and so I think that I'd love to see more of that. I'd love to see them even have it on their own franchise or something. So
I was even surprised to see it go there in the first place. I mean, that is, anybody familiar with the comics will tell you that that is one of the most overly convoluted storylines to ever grace the comics page, and that saved a lot. And I was like, oh, they went there. All right, well, let's see where this goes. And I was dead certain that Wanda was going to be the one who fixes everything in the first place, because comic book-wise, she has that power to be able to do that herself. And we have seen a power creep in her powers in each of the subsequent movies as we've been moving forward. I would actually like to see them come back together, come back and be back together, and I would actually like to see their children come to fruition in kind of a Young Avengers take on it.
I thought that relationship had everything that Black Widow and the Hulk didn't have. There was actual emotion involved there, and it was a robot and a person, and just the way that it came together was really sweet. They did a great job with it.
They aren't married right in the movies, right?
No, not yet.
That's the wedding house.
But I mean, were you wondering about whether Vision should have killed himself, taking the gemstone out and stopped it from there? Is that what you're asking about?
No, I think that was the right way for them to do that. I agree with you, Mr. Lambert, about, you know, Shuri can definitely put that together, and I've been saying to other people that Shuri has taken scans, this seems certain, but if we get Vision revived at the beginning of the next Infinity War, like it could easily be done, how do you think the loss of Wanda Maximoff is going to impact him and his role? How do you think they're going to eventually bring Wanda Maximoff back? Do you think it's just going to be him? Is he going to have to deal with that? You know, what is his emotional baggage he's taking into part two?
I think everybody on that team that was left obviously has paid an emotional price. You know, the first person to go was Bucky, and in the audio commentary of the movie, the Russo brothers say that was on purpose. The people know how much Cap and Bucky care about each other, and that was why you know, Winter Soldier went first. And so I think everybody has a reason to want to fight and figure out how to undo what's been done. Maybe even most of all, the Vision.
You know, what sucks from a writing standpoint is the fact that the hammer's gone, Mjolnir. Because a great moment would be for after the Vision to know that Wanda's gone, for him to try to pick up the hammer, and he can't.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
Also, like in the comics, when Vision loses Scarlet Witch, he intentionally erases the memory of her. Because it is so painful, and you know, I would not be surprised if Shuri brings back the Vision, and he's like, well, what happened to Wanda? And as soon as he finds out, is just completely devastated by that. And then by the time she does come back, if she comes back, that he doesn't remember her at all, they'd have to start that whole thing all over again.
Do the stones have any sort of will? Or are they just a weapon?
I think they implied that with the
soul stone. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it like the stone can be aching to be back in the Vision's head?
It could be.
At some point.
Because even the Tesseract, the time stone, it sent Red Skull where he was.
Yeah. So
it has a will.
Maybe that love will bring it all together.
Well, if stones have a will, how much does Vision affect the stone as the stone affects Vision? Like, is he imprinted on it? Has he changed
right.
it? Right.
That's what her question made me think of. Like, is it...
They're such powerful items that they must have an intelligence. It's not necessarily a human intelligence the way we think about it, but I think that all of them have some sort of will.
I think they established it in the Ultron as well, when they said basically this is an artificial intelligence, this, you know, stone.
Oh my gosh, I think we just wrote the movie.
By the way, you should have been moderating this panel. That was a great question.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. We know that sooner or later the X-Men are going to join the MCU. And I'm wondering if what y'all think of this theory that we have already been hinted at how the X-Men are going to be introduced. And that is in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Janet Van Dyne, the Quantum Realm, when she comes back, she says, I've changed, I've evolved, and we see that she has powers. Is it plausible that they're going to use the Quantum Realm and what's they can extract from there as the origin of mutants and the X-Men mutations in the MCU?
It would also be a great origin for the Fantastic Four, rather than using
cosmic rays.
Use the same platform.
And that's what's really cool about where we're at in the MCU, because anything is possible. From here, they can go anywhere. They can introduce the X-Men, the Fantastic Four in any way. You know, it could just be they come back and everything gets put back together, and in this reality that they put back together, mutants are there, and they've always been there. Or it could be the impetus. It could be really anything.
I think personally that it would be better for the Fantastic Four, who could survive another reboot, than the X-Men, because the X-Men could have always been there without us mentioning them. And we have all of the history of the X-Men already built in. I think just folding the two universes, those two universes together, is probably better, personally.
Well, maybe they're in a different literal universe.
That's possible, too.
And they're the heroes of that universe, and nobody's ever heard of Captain America and Iron Man in that universe.
Okay, so new headcanon. Charles Xavier is one of the people who disappeared in the snap, which means that Magneto, shows up to get his revenge on Thanos.
Oh yeah, Magneto would be pissed.
Well, is Scarlet Witch going to be Magneto's daughter in this universe, too?
Shh, no, I don't like that.
She's not in the comics, either.
She was for a while.
I'm actually of the mindset. I really like the idea of going X-Men Evolution in this universe, where there's always been this school for mutants in like upstate New York, but anytime there's been an incident, Professor X just comes and wipes everybody's memory of it. And I have a scene just in my head in my own fantasy universe. Where Scott and the other X-Men are watching the event of New York on the TV saying, we need to go, we need to help them. And Professor's like, no, you're not ready. And now that everybody's gone and half the people are gone, now it's time for the X-Men to come out of the shadows and take up the mantle as heroes.
Or a scene where they go and we see a chunk of the Avengers where they did help and then we've erased everybody's memory afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we didn't see it.
Yeah. Where they go back in time. Yeah.
And we've seen that, you know, Kevin Feige hinting that Spider-Man was always there just kind of swinging around. He was just never in the movies. X-Men have always been there just helping out, but everybody forgot.
Black Panther's been there too. Black Panther's been there, I mean, before. And he has, and we haven't seen him until recently, so.
All right, let's have this question.
So, real quick, I wanted to just bring up this idea.
Give me the mic a little bit.
So, I wanted to just bring up this idea to you guys, because I know that Kevin Feige has said that he is working to get the Young Avengers into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they've already set it up with Cassie. And there's going to be some time to gap, maybe with what happened between Witch and Vision, there's going to produce children with that.
He's fully functional.
In the comics during Ragnarok, or I think after Ragnarok, when Loki died, he got resurrected as a kid Loki, who then also becomes part of the Young Avengers. That's a way they can bring Loki back without bringing Tom Hiddleston back, because he does not want to continue as Loki. He'll be anybody else, but he's not.
Is it worth it to bring Loki back without it being Tom Hiddleston, though?
Yeah.
But that wasn't my question. I just wanted to throw that out there. My question is, there's a scene in the comics that I can't quite remember from what, where Gamora steals the gauntlet from Thanos and uses it to... Nebula. You're right. Sorry. Nebula steals the gauntlet from Thanos and uses it to pretty much mince him up and disappear like he did with everybody else. How likely, I know that the gauntlet's destroyed, but how likely do you think it is that that scene is going to somehow play a part in the next movie?
I think there was such heavy father-daughter dynamics between Gamora and Thanos in Infinity War that I'd love to see some of that echo into Nebula and Thanos in the next one.
You think we're going to make a new gauntlet?
Yeah. They have the parts.
We saw the four. Sorry. Thank you.
And we've seen the gauntlet too in Odin's throne room as well.
I want Nebula to be the one to take him out.
Yeah,
I really do. Because in that scene when she comes chasing Gamora in Guardians 2, she's relentless. You guys, she wants revenge so bad. I want her to get it.
Yeah, I do too.
Whoever wields the gauntlet, if there is a wielding of a gauntlet, needs to have paid a price. And so that would pretty much say you know, well, Thor can handle it, and I think Nebula can handle it too, as well as have the motivation as well as the ability to wield it.
And I think Nebula would be fine if that ended her. Like, okay, I'm done. That's my whole purpose now.
Nebula is definitely, and she definitely story-wise prepaid the price too. So
yeah,
yes, sir.
All right. My question is, because they can hint at it. What I was going to ask is, considering the fact that the mainstream Avengers are still alive, like Tony, Cap, Thor, everybody, and what I'm thinking is for Captain Marvel, since we haven't seen what's going on with her yet, and they sent out the thing to go get her, what they should do is have Tony Stark, when he rekindles his relationship with Cap, get all of them together, and then send out the new Avengers protocol, which means they can bring in anybody. Ghost Rider, Daredevil, Punisher, bring in a whole bunch of people, and then like the ones that fade out of existence, come back later, and then to fight like a bigger threat like Galactus or King the Conqueror.
What's your question?
Basically saying, do you think it would be cool to see them have the new Avengers protocol and basically bring in a whole list of new characters?
I think it would be cool for Captain Marvel to show up in the next Avengers movie and go, all right, I don't know who you guys are, this whole thing is cute and everything, but I'm in charge. So, do what I say.
I'd like to apologize to everybody behind the veracity hat, because we have to be our last question. I'm sorry.
I mean, the point you touch on is sort of like what they've done in the Avengers comics over the decades, where they have, you know, the roll call, the old ones roll off, the new ones roll off, that's been the standard part. I mean, that's I've always looked forward to those issues to see who the new ones are going to be. So something along those lines.
Yeah, it's something that's been
happening. Would be cool to
hear that.
Yeah.
All right, sir, you've got the last question.
All right. What do you think of Iron Man making a gauntlet and going on a journey to get the Soul Stones?
I mean, he's out in space right now. He and Nebula might go make one.
Yeah.
She knows where to go.
Yeah, but I think that's out of even Iron Man's element. I would like to maybe see him go and try and fail for once, and have to admit that he failed and has to go and find somebody else who can. But yeah, I think making the gauntlet from Iron Man is not.
Is the dwarf still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
What? Yeah, that's a brilliant scene in the recent comics where Tony Stark. Yeah. Actually has the dwarf forge something for him, and he sacrifices his sobriety to do it. I mean, you could do something like that, but I don't think they've set that up.
I think they set it up when they showed the mold for the
gauntlet. Yeah, they showed the mold. Yeah.
I mean, on the Tony Stark side.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's already out in space. It's basically on the way home. So. Yeah.
Never the later.
It's like picking up milk before you go home, guys.
And Nebula knows enough about the galaxy to know that that place exists and that something like that is possible, so.
Or Captain Marvel. Do we know if the gauntlet we saw a gauntlet in Asgard, right?
Fake.
No, it's called fake.
Like, well, that's what I was trying to establish, is what we saw in Asgard. Okay, so we have like 2 minutes left, so I would like to get final thoughts from everybody, and then we will thank our panelists for the day. Why don't we start in this end, since we started on the other end, on the introductions?
This is Infinity War, a pretty heavy movie. We've talked about deaths of characters, some of our favorite characters out there. Just to lighten it up a little bit, just, you know, since anything is possible in comic book world, let's consider Infinity War 2 the musical.
I have a note in my thing about Rocket and Gamora together, or not Rocket and Nebula together again, the musical, but I
I have no history in the comics. I'm an MCU fangirl first and foremost, and this has been an amazing 10 years, and I, you know, no matter what direction it goes in, I'm excited for it and I'm along for the ride. And I'm going to be hanging out at the Printed Gardens booth 831 in an hour. If you want to come and continue geeking out about the movies, I'd be happy to chat with you.
As for me, just look at it this way. There's going to be chapters ending, but there's going to be new chapters beginning. And it's okay if some characters go away and other versions of them appear. It's all right. We still have the old stuff. You've got all the comics. They're going to reboot it eventually anyway. So just go with it and enjoy it and have fun. And you guys, you can listen to my podcast, Late to the Party with Travis Tate. It's basically like a Comic-Con panel every week. So.
My biggest worry after this second movie is that Kevin Feige's contract comes up this summer as well. And with the stuff with James Gunn and those kinds of things, I worry about what would happen. Eventually, Kevin Feige's not going to helm the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and things are going to have to go. I know they have a lot of planning in place for that, but I just wonder, you know, if he will, if he's been doing it for so long, does he want to do something else? And that's my only concern about moving the movies moving forward and getting stale and getting a little predictable or something. But and if we're pitching our stuff again, Sideswipe Comics on Instagram and Facebook, or sideswipecomics.com. Check out some of the social media comics.
And just to echo what's kind of already been said, I'm excited to see what changes come and who the new members of the team are going to be and going forward, who the focus on the Marvel Universe is going to be going forward. I enjoy that. I've always liked that in the comics. And I'm excited to see that happen in the MCU.
I don't have anything to pitch right now.
No, I'm also super excited, and I actually think I'm kind of thinking that Kevin Feige will re-sign, because I think with the new acquisition of the Disney properties, bringing in the X-Men and the Fantastic Four finally, and knowing, having followed Feige his whole career, I think that'd be too tempting to turn down, and I think I'm really excited for that.
Well, let's thank everybody. I apologize for my communicator going off right there. Let's thank everybody, all the panelists.
If you have questions, ask us outside. Okay, we're here. It's Travis and Jake here. We're here for Late to the Party with Travis Tate. We're talking to cosplayers today. Let's get to the bottom of why cosplay is so awesome. Here's Jake. Say hi, Jake.
Hi, everybody.
All right, we're here with Harley Quinn and Joker. How's it going, guys?
Good.
It's going good.
You can give your real names if you want. It's up to you. All right, no real names today. It's Harley Quinn and Joker. So, questions we had for you. What got you guys into cosplay? What do you love about doing it?
I love dressing up as someone who I'm not and getting to act like them for a day.
All right, that sounds fun to me.
I do it because of her, so.
Oh, I see.
Is this you guys' first year doing this?
No.
No, this is our third or fourth year.
Yeah.
So Harley Quinn wears the mallet in this relationship. I get it. Yes. I get it. So what else have you guys cosplayed at?
Some Sith Lords.
Yeah, mostly
Sweet.
Sith Lords.
Yeah.
Like Knights of Ren type stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but that's about it. And then we've had these costumes here a few years.
Well, those are cool costumes.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
They're
awesome. We just upgrade them every year.
Oh, yeah? Cool. So what do you like about Joker and Harley Quinn specifically?
I love that Harley Quinn was made for Joker. Like, that's her story. And I love her backstory and her continuing story. And I just love her comics.
I always love that she came from the animated series. Mm-hmm. That's something that I watched when I was a kid sprouted like a really awesome character that people still love now. How about you? What gets in under your skin about the Joker?
Well, I like the Joker because he's kind of the most, he's the coolest of all villains to me. And he's just fun to dress up as and be getting his head a little bit.
You like to scare people.
Like to scare kids.
So I gotta ask, who's your favorite Joker?
It's gotta be, so on screen it'd be Heath Ledger, but as far as the character itself, it'd be the animated version that Mark Hamill does the voice.
Mark Hamill, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the real Joker.
Did you guys see his panel when he was here a couple
years
ago?
Yeah, we watched it last year.
Oh, that was so cool.
Where do you stand on Cesar Romero?
I don't know who that is.
From the Adam West series.
From the 60s.
Oh,
had a mustache? Oh, crap.
It wasn't the Nicholson, it was...
Batman's over here.
Oh, Batman.
He's being a good citizen, Batman,
I
swear.
We're trying to keep things clean today.
So Cesar Romero, the backstory is he had a mustache. He was famous for having a mustache, and he refused to wear it or to shave it. So they just painted over his mustache.
I do. I have seen pictures of that. I haven't actually watched any of those movies, but because it's pretty old.
It's pretty funny now to go back and watch it and see that he's got this
all the Adam West Batman. Yeah, those ones are all, they're entertaining for sure, but yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for taking a couple minutes out of your day. It was awesome to talk to you. Have a good one, guys.